Good evening, church. Good to see you all again this evening. I always enjoy when I get to preach on the same topic more than once. There is a St. Augustine quote that says, "He who sings prays twice." Well, the person who gets to deliver a message on the same topic gets to teach twice. And so last time we were together, I spoke on the 23rd Psalm. And today's message builds on that further. Last time we got together and we preached, we looked at what the concept of fear is. We looked at what it means for us to spiritually continue to choose to stay in fear, and what it is that God offers to us as an alternative. In that sermon, we saw that the alternative that God offers to us is His perfect love that drives out fear. And that fear that is driven out is the fear of judgment. And from that point of judgment, we learn to understand that God will shepherd us through the things that we can't control. In many ways, today's sermon from the second chapter of James is reminding us of the same message. It reminds us that God is in control, that He saves us, and from that position we love and serve Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We pray that it will minister to us and fill our hearts. Amen. Well, we read earlier from James the passage that says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and well filled,' without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." At first when we read that, it seems to jar with what we know elsewhere in the Bible. It doesn't fit with some other concepts that are quite clear. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 these words, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What's going on here? I think a key place to start is asking the question, how are we defining the terms? What do we mean by that word, faith? When I read what James is saying here, I think the important thing is to read very closely what he says. He says, if someone says he has faith. I don't think James is saying that they do have faith. I think he's talking about someone who says that they have faith. Imagine someone who is a notorious boaster. Possibly think of a politician, if that helps you. And imagine that they unironically boasted that they had great humility. Does that make them humble? No. Good work, Gail. No, it doesn't make them humble. And that's what James is doing here. James is calling them out on their, to coin a phrase, fake faith. We hear of fake news, well, fake faith. That's what James is calling them out on. He's calling them out on their fake faith. And that aligns with so many biblical concepts. When we read in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." You can know that that little tree out by the coffee cart at morning is a lemon tree because it has a lemon on it. Other than that, you'd be hard-pressed even working out it was a plant. You know, it's suffering there. But you can know that it's a lemon tree because of the lemon. Or the new commandment that Jesus gives in John 13, when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. James is not calling into question somebody's saving faith. Rather, James is calling out someone's so-called faith that's fake and is seen to be fake because it lacks the fruit of love for God and love for others. To quote a couple of meerkats, we'd just say simples at this point. All very straightforward. Okay, if it is so straightforward, why do we get it wrong? Why is there complications? Why are there debates about this issue? Why is it a sticky problem? Well, again, like our last sermon, we know that God is in control, that God is the shepherd. But sometimes we don't like being out of control ourselves. Sometimes we want to take charge and do a little bit of our own freelance shepherding. The issue here is that we upend the concept. We get it the wrong way around. We start to somehow think that producing fruit actually makes our faith occur. We somehow think that the work makes the faith happen. And in reality, that's just a form of pride. We can no more earn or make our own faith than we can make our own birth happen. I don't think any of us had anything to do with that. Well, same deal with our faith. I don't know about you, but I leave lots of notes in my books when I'm reading them. In the margins, everywhere, it can be a novel. In my Bible, when I open up this passage, the little tag that's next to it says, "Just keep inhaling for me. Don't exhale. It's not possible. Exhaling is a natural part of the process as works follows faith." I don't know about you, but that's the note that I've got written there. It's this wrong ordering that causes problems. In reality, faith is the root and works are the fruit, and God ordains both. The right order is faith is a gift from God. Thankfulness to God, love to God, and love to others. If we dig a little bit deeper in that Ephesians passage, some clues about that ordering come a bit clear. Ephesians 1-10 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The order there is quite straightforward. You're dead. Good luck doing any good works from that position. You're dead. There is nothing you can do. You're dead. Yet God gives life. God starts the process. God gives you life. Our faith is given to us as a gift by God. And God creates us to do good work. Work is a part of our expression of our faith, but it's not our faith. Last time when I was preaching, we were looking in 1 John 4 and we read these words, "For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This love of God casts out the fear of judgment. Then from that point of faith received, we can then go and express our faith. But what does that look like? There's a comedian that might not be everybody's cup of tea called Kitty Flanagan. And she has a particular routine where she talks about the difference between rescue dogs and rescue cats. Now, Kitty says rescue dogs are kind of like this. They're all like, "Hi, great to see you today. What do you want to do? This is all about you. You're amazing and fantastic. You've saved me. You want to go sniffing other dogs? No, not your thing? Okay, no, that's perfectly fine. I'll do that on my own time. This is all about you. What do you want to do? I want to make you happy." That's a rescue dog. Rescue cats, Kitty says, are kind of like survive, but they survive with a deep hatred of all humanity. And they're kind of like hiss and they're like, "Yes, you saved me, but I would have been better off without you." Now, I've had both rescue dogs and cats, so I'm not necessarily saying I agree, but I understand the thinking. And it gets me thinking about myself. It gets me thinking about why is it so often that I am more like a rescue cat in my relationship with God than a rescue dog? And I am the perfectly rescued animal. God rescues me, comes, gets me from the pound. And how do I act? In my faith, I want to be more like that rescue dog. The answer to that question, I think, takes us back to the passage from James, where faith without works is dead. I think the answer to that question takes us back to the passage from 1 John, where whoever loves God must also love his brother. And I think the answer to that question takes us back to Ephesians, where we are his workmanship, created in good works, for good works. If there is only one take home, if there is only one thing I want you to remember, and it's just simply one verse, and it's a really short one, and if you remember this, you've remembered every single thing in the sermon. If you write notes, that's good work. Just write this. 1 John 4:19. That's it. That's the sermon. We love because he first loved us. That's it. James is telling us that saving faith is known by its fruit. And we see that clearly because of God's loving us. Because of God's love for us, we can continue to be a teacher in Sunday school. Because of God's love for us, we can continue to be part of a worship team and overlook bruised egos, our own and others. Because of God's love for us, we can keep serving our family, even when we feel less than appreciated. Because of God's love for us, we can forgive the offence of others and the hurt that they've caused us. We can love because he first loved us. And the fruit of this love is the works of our faith. Let me pray for us all now. I pray that you may know that you are loved by God. I pray that you know that faith is a gift God offers to you. I pray that you receive the gift of faith and be thankful. I pray that you will live your life in joy as a response to that gift and bear fruit. I pray that we would hear God's words to us. Amen.